You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Mike and Leona, yeah, they're playing some games. You better pray to your mama that they're not super lame. And if that all sounds cool, I can tell you the name. It's the R-H-A-P-B-M-B. Mike and Leona, yeah, they're playing some games. You better pray to your mama that they're not super lame. And if that all sounds cool, I can tell you the name. It's the R.
Everybody, and welcome to the RHAP B&B for episode 3 of Survivor Edge of Extinction. My name is Mike Bloom, here to release a podcast onto you. We are consuming it all, meat and the bones, to talk about this latest episode of Survivor. Got a really fantastic panel to break it all down. First, let me bring in my co-host who's here every week, Leona Boris. Leona, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you for having me, filling in for Mike Barassi this week. So really just glad to be here.
Yeah, he went on that road trip with Goose, and he never came back. So, Leona, you've been a great substitute host in the meantime. You might be a keeper. We'll see. Yes, for those of you that do not realize, Stephen Fishback, when prompted about what the B&B stood for, said it stood for Bloom and Barassi. So thank you to our number one fan, Stephen Fishback, always the best contributor to the B&B. But we are so excited to bring in this second individual on to the podcast. I'm going to call her the First Lady of Podcasting. That is a title that she has held for many a year, understandably so, deservedly so, and we are here to usher in royalty into the B&B. Nicole Cesternino, welcome. How you doing?
Wow, what a welcome. That was amazing.
Thank you so much. A lot of guests are surprisingly complimentary of the introductions I give.
Oh, so it's not just me? I'm taking it back then. That's messed up. Right.
Yeah, you're not special.
Oh,
he says it to all the ladies.
Listen, I got maybe the highest compliment that's ever been paid to me this week, where the great Jason Curtis Rivera said, is it just me or is Chris Underwood a much better looking Mike Bloom, essentially?
Oh, that's nice.
No, it's a high compliment, to be completely serious. Like, I'm totally fine to be in the conversation, even if the words between are, like, disparaging.
I love it when it's like, oh, I think you're shading someone. You're like, no, this is a compliment. I'll take this.
Yeah,
I'll take exactly. It. Listen, yeah, I'm fine. I got the Adam Klein comparisons. Like, I'm good to, like, get the Chris Underwood comparisons as well. I mean, we have a lot to talk about over the course of this episode, including the blind side and just various, I don't know, hot mess issues that led to Chris ultimately heading over to Extinction, snake and all. Nicole, we heard your thoughts preseason, and I think we'll certainly get into them a bit when we're cross-comparing your thoughts on the contestants now, but what are you thinking about Edge of Extinction 3 episodes in? Are you high on the concept? Are you just sort of in the middle with it?
It's still the beginning, so it's hard to really tell, but I think I like it. I think it's going to be a good contribution to the show. I like the twists. I like the new stuff. I know a lot of people don't, but I find it to be good.
Yeah, I'm also very here for the Edge of Extinction twist. I mean, maybe it's because we haven't really seen much of it and it hasn't really influenced the game, but it's kind of this, oh, the mystery of it all. You know, what happens when they get to go and you get to sort of have this extra drama that comes from the fact that they're not out of the game. And especially when you have, you know, fun lines of either Keith just being so distraught over what he chooses or Chris being like, yeah, screw those guys. I'm coming back in the game. That adds like a fun layer to it.
I mean, I would wager to say, I think right now the stuff that's going on Extinction Island is actually more interesting than some of what's going on in the regular game, because it's so unique. We haven't really experienced as a Survivor fan in quite some time this idea of like these people just stranded on an island, with no instance as to when they're going to get quote unquote rescued. You know, we dedicate a lot of time to Keith and Reem's excellent adventure up the mountain to get the little bucket of rice that they have to do every single day. And that was, I mean, I think they really lucked out in the group of people that they picked to go first, because I think the pairing of Keith and Reem is a lot of fun, especially Reem's decision to say, you know what, I was going to quit, but I'm not going to anymore because Keith will basically die if I don't leave. Now, when you add Chris onto that, it should be an interesting mixture, but I'll make a hot take here. I think that the Extinction Island stuff is more interesting than what's going on the Kama tribe, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think now that Chris is there, that really steps up the game of the Edge of Extinction, of Extinction Island. And I really think that they put in that Stairway to Heaven to Rice because they really thought that Reem and Keith were going to die.
Yes, I love that that's probably where it came from. Like, man, we got to do something.
These guys are going to die.
Do you think that's why there was such little rice? Because they're like, crap, we don't have a lot left over. Let's get craft services to like get all the leftovers together.
We weren't prepared for this.
Yeah, exactly. It was a very impromptu thing. So we'll see. Maybe they'll, like, I don't know, everyone will like pull some money together and throw it in a bucket to put next up on top of the mountain. We'll see what decision they have to make on the fly as more and more people show up to Edge of Extinction, though. To your point, Nicole, it seemed like at least preseason, Chris was all about like, I'm a water man, I'm an Aussie 2.0. So maybe they've found their savior accidentally in this guy that might be able to feed them for a while.
Yeah, I think he's like, he's coming to save the day almost.
But they don't have a fishing kit or anything, right? Because I don't know what they have. I know they have the random giant like tarp thing that Reem was wrapped in, and then a machete.
Does she know how to use the tarp? Like, it's not to, I don't, it's not to wear.
Right. Like, okay, honey, no. Like, hang it up. It protects you that way.
Oh, great. A big old coat. I need this.
But that's, I actually love, though, the threesome of these, like Reem, Keith, and Chris. Like, what? Why would you pick these three people to all be together? It's very Three's Company. And we'll definitely see how it goes. But I like this also, this idea of, oh, okay, who's going to be really entertaining on the Edge of Extinction? Let's vote them out first, and then it'll be more exciting over there.
It's a little masochistic to be like, who do we want to torture the most? But, you know, these are, especially in lieu of this. Yeah, it's good TV. You know, it's tough, especially in lieu of that Spencer conversation where he's all about, you know, the characters of TV and the, you know, the mental anguish that you might undergo. But to Nicole's point, it'll make for some fun stuff. I will say, I think this third episode might have been my favorite of the three so far, because there still wasn't huge amounts of stuff going on, but there were fun moments. I think we've determined that Manu might be one of the biggest hot mess tribes in quite some time. I feel for Kelly Wentworth here, because now looking back at Kelly Wentworth, all of her starting tribes have been just explosive. Like Salmon del Sur, she had all the Drew Christie stuff combined with the Keith and Jeremy stuff. This was the tribe that, remember, lost the flint. Somebody didn't take the flint. Somebody lost the flint. Then they bargained for another one from Jeff Probst. Then they found the flint and they tried to give the first one back. And then in Cambodia, it was the freaking PG versus Abby Maria bracelet gate as well. So like, poor Kelly, I feel like she's the new Steph LaGrosa in terms of being super unlucky when it comes to starting tribes.
Yeah, totally.
Oh my gosh, I just imagine her out there being like, I'm playing with nut jobs. Like, what did I do to deserve this every single time? And you could even see when the flint went missing, total like PTSD type situation. She was like, this will not happen again.
PTS Drew is a thing with Kelly Wentworth.
Yes.
Well, let's get a bit more into the Manu tribes at all, because we'll certainly touch upon all the stuff going on with Kama, Aubrey's emotional idol find, Victoria and Ron not being able to see 3 feet in front of them, etc. But we are going to start with our tried and true preseason predictions. So for those of you that might not remember, before the season, we took a page out of Nicole and Rob's book and we wrote up how we thought each person would do preseason, and we sealed them up. And every week, as the person's being voted out, we are going to read out what we wrote preseason. Nicole, the power is in your hands this week. As a guest, you get to determine which one of us had the more accurate prediction as to how Chris Underwood would turn out back in, I guess, January or February when all this stuff came out.
I'm gonna say that I think Liana was on the board.
Yes, thank you. My God, I think so too.
This is a personal low for me. I didn't even read mine, and I already lost.
just give off that air of, I'm a lion, Mike, from the Animal and You quiz.
Yeah, it's, I'm really a sheep in this.
Air I give off.
All right, well, so Liana, what did you, because this is essentially we're playing for fun at this point, because apparently I've already lost, but what did you have to say about Chris pre-Edge of Extinction, unless you thought that he was going to be the winner?
Yeah, out of respect for Chris, I'd rather not read my prediction since I've already won. No, I'm just kidding.
Don't you Bibi Zahara Benet this.
Yes. Okay, so here's what I had written for Chris. I did say that he would make the merge. And I wrote that Chris tries to pull off the, hey, I'm just a regular dude. I'm totally not a threat. But his genericness is unappealing to the Women's Praying Mantis Alliance, and he becomes their next target. Although Chris hasn't been performing well in individual immunity challenges, he's still a big, strong dude, so duh, he's a threat. Chris tries a last-minute appeal to the women by claiming that he's playing for Monica, but it doesn't help his case. Chris is voted out and goes to Vindication Island.
That was very detailed.
Thank you.
I actually was sort of on a similar level here, not nearly as granular as she did, but I also had him making the jury. I said he would get at least one surprisingly emotional confessional. I actually was really drawn to Nicole. I don't know if you remember this. You compared him to Chris Noble pre-season. Uh-huh. And I thought totally the same thing of like, he's going to have this moment where he's like, I'm just thinking about my dad. And maybe he'll still get that on Extinction Island, but I totally thought he'd get that. I thought he'd find at least one advantage. And I, like Liana, thought he would get targeted post-merge as a newfound Joey Amazing between, you know, his easygoing attitude, his nice smile, his outdoor skills and athleticism. I think we all overestimated the Underwood, because I think from both a gameplay perspective and, unfortunately, a personality perspective, we didn't see really any of that on the show.
Well, he seems like a really unlikely early boot. Like, no one would have predicted this.
Yeah, that's even how I felt after the episode. I was like, wait, I'm sorry, how did he go home? Like, I really couldn't wrap my head around it. Yeah, he's, well, and that's the thing is that we had been talking about, oh yeah, he seems like he's, you know, getting along with everybody. He's doing well at tribal. He's not saying anything crazy, especially when you have this hot mess of a tribe. I was like, there's no way Chris is going to be targeted. And then all of a sudden he's gone this week.
Yeah, but whenever anybody says, well, I have to stick to my morals and I have to do the right thing, like, you know, you're playing Survivor. That's not how it's played. Like, you deserve to go then.
Yeah, it's interesting because I guess if we're sacrificing ourselves to the gods of good TV, as Nicole is saying, this is sort of the best outcome because there are all these whack jobs on Manu and we were going to lose one of them, whether it was your Wendy or your Kelly, or maybe someone else out of nowhere. Now, I guess we have Lauren as like the de facto normal person on that tribe. And even she is like a little bit of like a goober, especially when she found that idol. She was like, she wasn't going full Kellen, but she was like waving her arms like one of those things outside a car dealership. This is just a really interesting tribe of people. And I'm a little sad we're breaking them up. I know that it's probably to help going to save them down the line, but I kind of like the way that these guys all just worked both for and against each other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a good point. He was kind of boring. I mean, really, like, I can't tell you much about Chris Underwood apart from his wood. And that was like the biggest thing I think that he gave us on the season. Biggest. Right. Yes, that's, oh my God. I'm so clever with my jokes. They are totally highbrow humor. Wow.
Wow. Another point for you, Liana. Well, Nicole, I would love to just, you know, throw it over to you. Was there anything that you wanted to specifically bring up from this episode or this season that you wanted to talk about before we tuck into all the silliness and shenanigans that are to come?
Well, I'm a little disappointed. I really didn't even, like, I didn't pick up on any of, like, the wiener jokes I could have had on this.
I mean, we can keep talking about it if you want to.
No, I didn't notice that this was a thing for him.
Wait, have you seen the GIF?
No.
Oh, my gosh. OK, this is actually really important. So I'm going to send this on our chat right now.
Oh, we're on a chat. Skype. OK,
will it'll come up in Skype, right?
It's a Twitter thing. So,
I
was giving specific instructions not to touch anything in the studio.
Yeah. And I think if you have this open on your window when Rob comes back in, this is worse than Goofy Gal on the iPad in terms of just like,
oh, he made that such a bigger deal than what it was. That Goofy Gal thing.
I think this might be a little bit more hot water, though. But yeah, I mean, this might be the most salacious thing that we've seen from Survivor in quite some time.
Wait, did the mouse come out of the house? Is that what happened?
No, this was not a Dr. Marcus from Gabon type of thing. But this is like a now we know why they keep them in their underwear type of thing. It was like if you did a basic cable version of Baywatch, this was like his credit shot. It was a slow pan up his body, and there was a lot of prominence going on.
I'm so disappointed in myself for not noticing this. I'm getting old.
I didn't notice it until someone had made a GIF on, and like I saw it then. So it's like I didn't even notice it from the episode. It had to be pointed out to me later, which I am also disappointed in myself that I didn't point that out. But yeah. Okay.
All right. It'll give me something to Google later. Okay. Anyway.
Well, I mean, listen, you said what's going to happen. How are they going to, you know, catch fish out on Extinction Island? They have a pole. They can do something with it.
Hey. Yeah.
Wait, actually, speaking of Extinction Island for one second, I can't get this out of my head now. Keith sounds so much like Aziz Ansari at certain points that it's uncanny to me.
I can see a little bit.
Yeah, I'll have to listen for that. Thankfully, you know, thank you, Edge of Extinction. He's still there, so I can get more dialogue from him.
Well, because it's certain things in that Ream scene where he was doing a lot of yelling, where he was like, "No," or "It's rice," and I'm like, "That is Aziz Ansari." That's
well, you
Tom
have
Haverford.
A good impression of him too. That was pretty spot on.
Thank you. I can only do high pitched nasally voices. That's sort of my pigeonhole, and I'm sticking to it.
Okay. Oh my gosh. They like go to get the rice drop and he's like, "Treat yourself."
Yeah, exactly. Like rice I call small grades.
Oh man. Yeah. Okay. All right. I'll pay attention to that.
So let's move into our first game here on the BNB. Now, people, I've actually seen some grousing on social media because this was a very rushed episode, even though I did enjoy it. One of those things was the reward challenge. And I think I saw someone, maybe it was Ashley's dream board on Twitter, say, "You know what? Get rid of all the reward challenges. We don't necessarily need them. There's only one that we really need. And it's a reward challenge called Touchy Subjects." And I don't know if either one of you are familiar with the name of it, but essentially it's what we like to refer to on the Survivor Historians as the Burn Book Challenge, where basically everyone gets a survey as to, you know, who do you think is the loudest? Who do you think, you know, it deserves to not be here, etc. And you have to answer what you thought everyone else thought. So on that note, I came up with a game I like to call Touchy Robjects. it could have been Sharp Robjects, which would have been much worse. So I'm glad it didn't go in that direction. But how it's going to work is I asked Rob a series of questions about his thoughts on actions from this episode. Nicole, we're going to see how much you know about what Rob thinks about Survivor. We're going to see, you're going to guess for each question what you think Rob answered, and we're going to see if it lines up.
Okay.
How confident are you before we go into this?
Not at all. I am terrible at games, and especially like newlywed games. I'm not good at that.
I just want it to be, you know, roundabout is fair trade. We did subject Rob to this on Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast, where he had to take the wife swap quiz. So I thought, let's put the shoe on the other foot and let's see, you know, if you try your hand at it, how you would fare.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, so let's start with this first question here. So I put Rob in the shoes of the Manu tribe as they won the reward challenge. Would you take comfort or chickens if you won the reward? Nicole, what do you think Rob answered? Comfort or chickens?
I feel like Rob would say definitely chickens.
Yes, Rob said, and I quote, "Can't make boring chicken without the chicken."
Of course.
I actually did get the logic, though, of going with the comfort. Because, you know, if you do get the chickens, like, they either lay maybe one egg a day, mm-hmm. or, you know, if you are going to cook them and eat them, if Wendy doesn't let them loose, you still only get, like, four chickens, and then it's split between, you know, eight people. So, I don't know. I could see the logic for going comfort.
The only thing about comfort is that if it gets wet, I feel like it just sort of ruins the value of it, and I don't know how often that rain was coming, so maybe they thought, like, all right, it's going to get wet in a few days, or we can guarantee chickens, at least they think, for the next week or so. They didn't realize at the time that Wendy was a mole for Sia or something.
Seriously, like, she really just wants the Sia money. That's what she's doing, right? That's got to be it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's definitely a plea for the sea of money. I loved that that was the like the meme and the joke of the week because we had like just talked about it. So good. I think maybe if Reem could figure out how to use the tarp correctly, maybe she could keep the comfort items dry. Help them out.
No, Reem would turn her down. She'd be like, "No, I just need the tarp. I'm good to go."
I'm sorry. Wait, well, I put the pillows on top of the shelter and I wrap myself in the tarp. Got it.
Yeah, exactly. That's how you do comfort Reem style. All right. So question number two here. So I put Rob in Wendy's shoes here. I said, if you knew you were going home and you wanted to sabotage your tribe on the way out, what would you do? Nicole, what do you think Rob would do if he knew he was going and he had to sabotage his tribe in some way, shape or form?
I feel like he would do more than just let the chickens loose.
Is this a multiple choice question?
No, this is an open end one.
My God, that's so hard.
Yeah, I think that he would. Yeah, I think he would do something more Rob-ish.
What?
Sneaky. He's really sneaky, that guy.
like hide stuff. Do you think he'd hide stuff?
Yeah, I feel like he would do kind of like a Russell Hantz thing, but on a more like low key level. Day they would find something else that he did.
Okay, so he like slowly, but she like Jim from The Office, like yes. Prank things, move things around or hide other things, put things in Jello.
He
puts the flint in Jello.
All right, so I'm taking the answer as Rob would put the flint in Jello.
Final answer.
Unfortunately, that's incorrect. Rob actually takes a page from his old Amazon buddy. He would burn down the camp Butch style.
He's a psycho.
So, yeah, he's not too hidden.
That's so aggressive.
See, I made him nicer than what he really is.
You just see the best in him, Nicole. That's so sweet of you.
Yeah, that's it.
I can't imagine Rob malevolently burning down the camp.
Yeah, you know what? I can.
I actually like the idea of like slowly moving stuff. Like what if Reem, instead of moving all their clothes once, like just slowly but surely move them like an inch closer to the beach. All of a sudden they're out there.
And now it's in the water.
Yeah, exactly.
Listen, guys, you shouldn't have put your clothes so close to the water. I don't know what to tell you.
I don't know what happened. I guess the tide got it.
Should have been wearing this. If you want to wear this tarp, it's perfect substitute for a shirt. Tarp. All right. Question three here. If you were on Manu, would you have voted out Chris, Kelly, or Wendy? What do you think Rob said?
Rob would not have voted out Wendy, for sure. I think he would have voted out Kelly.
Any particular reason why?
I think that he would have seen her as a threat.
Okay.
Well, I can't come up with anything witty on that.
Unfortunately, your first instinct, you sort of turned away from the correct option there. It was Wendy. He said she's on her way to being a final three goat.
Oh, okay.
So yeah. I guess you were on the same trail with thinking that she wants to get rid of a threat, but I think he's taking a page out of Cerise's book. Yeah, and wants to get rid of a threat that could take his spot at the end.
Mm-hmm. See, I would think that he would find her completely entertaining, but maybe that's just as a viewer, not a player.
Well, we do know that he's pro chicken, and having the chickens, and she is pro letting loose the chickens.
She does not like boring chicken.
Well, I actually feel like of all the environments, boring chicken might succeed the most on Survivor when there are no other spices or options out there.
Yeah, Rob would do really well with the boring chicken on Survivor.
Well, I was going to say that's what they eat, boring chicken, because they picked the fishing kit and not the spices. So they can only eat boring chicken.
Yeah. Remind me again why Rob doesn't want to go back onto Survivor. It seems like it's a perfect experience.
Yeah. And there's no kids.
Yeah. No kids. Boring chicken.
I don't know. They're 19 year olds.
Yeah. Well, there's not 5 or 3 year olds. So that's a plus.
Not yet. Yeah. Not yet. Just wait.
Oh.
All right. Question four. What piece of clothing from this season's cast would Rob want to add to his personal wardrobe? So I know you're concentrating on the body language. Were there any pieces of wardrobe that have stuck out to you from these castaways through three episodes that you think would look good in Rob's closet?
Wait. Now, I want to clarify. You asked him what he would take, not that it would look good.
Right? I guess that's true. If he was forced to take one piece of clothing, whether to spite someone or to wear it, there's no specific purpose as to why he would pick it.
Oh, man. I didn't see any plaid on the island. Mm-hmm. Nothing stuck out at me. He was very drawn to how Aubrey's pants were voted off. So I would say maybe Aubrey's shirt.
Unfortunately, Rob would not pick Aubrey's sleeveless shirt to show off his guns.
He would rock it so good.
I think he would. And also, poor Aubrey. I feel like she should be thinking back to Corona like, God, they should have just given me sleeves. I know it was hot out there, but who knew I would have to play two more times with this Winnie the Pooh look with no pants and no sleeves.
Oh, she does kind of look like Winnie the Pooh. Oh, that's so sad.
But the correct answer was Gavin's pineapple shirt.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yes, he would wear that.
That's a good one.
Which makes sense given his alternative handle. But I think he could pull it off. Has he really tried a lot of the patterns?
No, he doesn't. His closet is either plaid and more plaid, or just like plain.
Plaid or plain. The new Survivor season.
Yes.
That's the theme.
Plaid versus plain.
Which side is Rob on?
Yeah, I think that could work. All right. I mean, listen, they coordinate the wardrobes anyway, so I think it would just make the most sense. All right, let's move on here. So actually, we were talking about Sia beforehand with Wendy, but I asked Rob, if you were Sia, how much money would you give Wendy for her actions this episode? So I guess it's a little inception-y, Nicole, but what do you think Rob would think, Sia would think, to give Wendy for what she did this episode?
This is a lot of thinking, and you know I don't like that.
Just pick a number, any old number. I'll give you a scale. She gave Davey $14,000. It's a number between 0 and 14,000. And it's an even number, if that makes things easier.
Okay, well, from what I know about the situation, she picked 14,000 for tax reasons. But you would think she would give Wendy more because she, like, you can see that she, like, let the chickens go in the next episode. And I feel like Sia loves that. So maybe, let's say 20,000.
So she, Rob went with the Sia max, the cap of 14,000.
Oh, okay. Should have went with my gut.
You both are shooting pretty high, though, for Wendy. Like, she hasn't done anything yet. Is it just that she, through her words, she's endeared herself to Sia, in your opinion?
Oh, totally. You know, Sia's loving this.
Right, because Davey didn't do anything with chickens or Anna. Yeah, he was just his spirit or something like that, right? And I feel like Wendy is really embodying that. Plus, she said, I wish we were in a meatless world.
I saw that. I was like, oh, hello, Sia.
Maybe that's why Chris left.
Yes, because we needed to live in a meatless world.
It was too much meat for the island.
Yeah, get rid of that chuck, that roast sirloin. Get it out of here.
Yeah. No sausage.
It was a hot dog.
Absolutely. Well, I just find it so interesting that Wendy perplexes me in a good way. I totally agree with you, Nicole, that I think she is so entertaining to just watch as a person on screen, but I don't think she's a good player, and I don't think she's fun to live with, but honestly, the misery that she's causing other people sort of endears her to me.
She would drive me crazy in real life. Like, I would have major problems with the situation.
Yeah, I'm with Nicole on that one. Like, I know the war dog was maybe a little too harsh and over the top, but I'm going to be a vegetarian now. I've been a vegetarian for 8 days. It's like she's the kid that's, you know, dug her heels in about something. Although I did, you know, I'm here for the entertainment value of it all. She's going to take the flint and release the chickens, which I really hope happens.
It's just crazy that over the course of we're on season 38. The halfway point of this series thus far was a Texas oil tycoon causing chaos by burning people's socks and hiding the machete. 19 seasons later, we have the same person doing it. Here's this blue-haired woman who Nicole previously accused of working for an MLM. It's just crazy how the same actions occur across different personality types.
As long as her MLM supports veganism, then I think like it's allowed. Yeah, it is really funny. Look how far we've come, how progressive we are as a society now.
It is interesting, though, because again, looking back on what you two said, Rob did mistakenly think that Big Wendy was actually big and could be a challenge beast. But actually, she kind of is one a little bit, even on a busted ankle.
Yeah, she, look at her swimming in the water on that episode. Like, I would have sunk to the bottom.
Yeah, I'm actually honestly surprised, given her injury also, that, you know, we weren't seeing her as really a liability in the challenges, which I thought was totally interesting because I was like, of course, she's injured. How is she not a liability? So if she's able to still swim, I mean, she's a total fish to water. Then maybe that's not going to be a problem for her, the injury.
Yeah.
What did you guys make of her injury, by the way? I guess, and the way it got played up in a manner of speaking. I guess I'm speaking specifically about the secret scene that has made the rounds of Wardog and Kelly making certain comments about Wendy as she hobbles off into the jungle.
I don't think it's broken. I think that it's just like she banged it pretty bad.
Yeah, because it looked, I mean, obviously it's swollen and bruised, but I mean, if it was broken by now, she would, you know, the fact that she was able to still continue to go on and compete. I mean, we didn't get to see her with medical, but I have to imagine that if they thought that it could even potentially be broken, you know, they would have pulled her from the game, but she's still out there hobbling around, setting the chickens loose. So, you know, it seems to be okay.
Yeah. It looked like they wrapped it up. But it looked like the swelling had gone down on the ankle after it was all wrapped up. So I think she's going to be just fine.
I can understand the histrionics a bit, though, because she said in confessional that she's someone who has never broken a bone before. And I guess you could understand from that perspective of if you are somebody who like has never undergone that experience before, like if you have, you can pretty much tell when something's broken and when it isn't from your experience. But if you don't have that experience, you're like, oh, God, this is the end, especially when you're malnourished and you've barely slept and you thought like, OK, this could be. You know, I have to get pins in my ankle when it's quite the opposite. She just got a big old bruise.
Yeah, she got a bruise. I mean, if it was broken, she would have felt it immediately. Like she wouldn't have been able to walk.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And again, you know, I know that they're busy dealing with Keith and Reem starving over on the edge of extinction and having to airdrop them rice, but they're not going to put themselves in a situation where someone could, you know, like really sue the show for medical neglect. So I'm sure that she got it checked out. And, you know, there's probably a reason we didn't see her with Dr. Joe, right? Because it was like, oh, yeah, you're going to be fine. Like, it's just swollen. We'll wrap it up. It'll be fine.
We didn't see him laughing at her like, what?
Yeah. Oh, give me a
just
break,
elevate
girl.
This leg and you'll be fine.
Come back to me when that foot falls off. All right, let's move on here. Last couple of questions for Rob. So I told Rob to pick one person on each tribe who, if he played with them, he would want to be his number one ally. So Nicole, you're going to pick one person from each tribe that you think Rob would want to be with if he played with them.
Oh my gosh. See, now I have to like get in my head who's on each tribe, and that takes thinking. So let's see. I know that he loves watching David Wright, and I feel like he would like playing with him. So I would say David. And then on the other tribe, I don't know. Who's on the other tribe?
I can remind you of
there's too many people.
Poor mysterious Kama that we don't know too much about. So Kama is the Joe and Aubrey tribe. They have Ron Clark. You've got some Victoria in there. You've got some Julie and some Julia. You've got some Gavin, Eric the firefighter, and you've got Aurora.
I feel like Rob would say either Gavin or Ron Clark.
He is going to steal Gavin's shirt.
Right. They have the same style. So I guess I'll have to go with Gavin.
So you're half correct. David Wright, he did indeed put down. But Rob is totally Team Aurora in joining up with the returnees. He would want to work with Aubrey as well.
Okay. He does cheer on Aubrey.
I mean, listen, she could show him all the plants on the island. You know how much he's into that now.
I just got a new plant. My sister got it for me last week, and I already killed it.
Oh,
and it was so nice. Happened? I don't know. I water it. I do everything that you're supposed to do, but I just I kill plants. I have a black thumb.
Do you love it? Was that the problem? Did you not love it enough?
I wasn't kissing it.
I heard you're supposed to compliment your plant twice a day.
That's why I'm like, lovely. I'm like a plant. You need to compliment its intro every time you walk in the room.
My next plants, I will name Mike Bloom.
Oh, well, that's perfect. It's thematic.
Because that's what you want it to do. You want it to bloom. So you're motivating it.
Speaking of compliments, though, okay, so I have an Alexa. I can't talk too loud. It'll hear me.
It'll
so
go
I
off.
Have,
yeah.
I have one of those.
Wait, can we talk about the state of society that you have to like talk in hushed whispers in conversations because you don't want the thing to overhear you?
It knows. My Alexa. Anyway, so I asked it to compliment me the other day because
oh, don't
I'm
let
totally
Rob hear this because
myself.
he's gonna all day long he's gonna say Alexa, give me a compliment.
Okay, well, I will go ahead and apologize for that ahead of time. However, based on the compliment I got, he might not want to do that because the compliment I got was, "When I'm with you, you make me feel like R. Kelly."
Is this updated? When's the patch?
I don't know, but it was like because I believe I can fly. I was like, I am so uncomfortable right now.
Alexa is canceled. I'm just saying that right now. Everyone,
seriously?
Return your devices.
Alexa.
Oh, I know. I was like so ashamed. I like scolded my Alexa. Alexa, no.
Do you ever curse at your Alexa?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. I was trying to take a bath the other day and I was trying to get Alexa to play this certain song and it wasn't doing it. And I was like, yelled at my Alexa. I was like, Alexa, I am trying to take a bath and relax and you are not helping me.
I take out my frustrations on my kid from my kids on Alexa. Like I curse her out.
Yes. That's healthy though. You know, is that
what you do to the plants as well? Is that why?
Maybe they're picking up that energy.
Yeah. Wow, I've learned so much about how to mistreat your Alexa in the past 2 minutes.
Yeah.
When the robot uprising happens, it's because of Nicole and I cursing out our Alexas.
Yeah, I drop a lot of F-bombs at Alexa.
The robots will make us all feel like R. Kelly one day, soon enough.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God.
All right, last question here. So I'm going to the flip side. I also asked Rob to pick one person from each tribe who he thinks would be his worst enemy if he played with them.
I don't think him and the war dog would do well on a tribe together.
Mm-hmm. You don't think he would be junior deputy war dog bitch?
Probably not. Although war dog might call him something similar, but not like that. So I would say war dog. And then,
again, who's on the other
side? I know,
tribe?
Right? I want to say Victoria, but just because that's the only person I can think of right now.
I know. Unfortunately, like, Victoria has been like the standout of the Kama tribe. But no, you were correct on the war dog. Once again, you got Manu nailed down. Rob's worst enemy would be Ron Clark because, quote, I can't learn his dances.
He can't. No way.
I mean, it's not like Ron, though, is that great of a dancer, right?
Yeah, he's got some moves.
Okay.
He likes to do a lot of air spanking is what I noticed.
Well, who doesn't?
that was my move in like senior year when the move was to everyone to grind on each other to every song.
So you are what, like dancing by yourself, air slapping?
Sort of. One time, actually, I got dragged into a dance circle to start off my senior winter formal with my entire class looking on at me as I had to start doing that to come off as hip. It did not go as well as I thought it would. So,
yeah, I used to do it at the clubs just to make my friends laugh.
I'm still just picturing Mike as like, hello, fellow kids, like, trying to dance.
Hello, everybody. I'm spanking this imaginary person. They're naughty.
You are.
I wasn't keeping score, but Nicole, you did a pretty good job.
I did. Okay.
I would say.
Okay.
You set a low bar for yourself, but I think you promptly hopped over that. I don't think any of us could have predicted how pyrotechnic Rob would get when it came to his revenge style, but otherwise I would say you were pretty on the sea of money with this stuff.
Yeah, pretty on the sea of money. That whole lighting the fire on the camp is really quite frightening when you learn about your spouse.
Yeah, be careful. I hope you have good insurance money on the house.
And take the Alexa out before you do it.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, but that was good. I mean, especially with the open-ended questions, like that's always super hard.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's bachelorette bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
But anyway, speaking of open-ended questions, so what I want to talk about on this episode is adding to our Ron Clark rules. So Ron Clark has 55 essential rules, and we go through and add an extra rule to the survivor addendum of the Ron Clark rules. So in the past episodes, we have added rule number 56, which is to ream daily. Rule number 57, which is to speak softly and carry a big snake. And so now we have rule number 58. So what did we learn from this episode that is something that can, I don't know, help you on Survivor or even just help you in regular life? So one of the things that I came up with was, the fact that Chris told the war dog the plan, and that is, you know, potentially what sent him home this week. So like snitches get stitches, or like snitches get snuffed. That was one of the ideas I had. Also, go ahead, steal the flint could be a fun rule as well.
That's a good one.
Yeah. So I don't know, Mike, if you have any ideas about what we can take away from this week.
Yeah. I mean, I know we want to keep it Manu-centric, but I just can't get back to this fact that they were talking so much about getting rid of Joe when Joe was literally right behind them. Like, I feel like since Ron Clark was the one who messed up, maybe that rule should be specifically about him.
Yeah. Okay. I like that. Right. Like, be sure to talk behind people's backs.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, is that a good rule? If you're going to gossip about people, do it behind their back.
I like that.
Behind their back.
Victoria's back.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's the thing. Sure. Is that I totally don't blame Victoria, because Victoria was standing with her back. Ron, from my breakdown of where everyone was standing, was pretty much like, look, could see Joe behind her. So I think it's totally his fault that he did not like do the motions to cut her off while she's talking about all this.
Okay, yeah. So it's the fact that Ron didn't stop Victoria from talking about Joe while like Joe is right there. Be sure to warn your friends when they're gossiping about a bitch right behind them. That's a really wordy rule.
What about bitches get stitches?
Bitches get stitches. I think you're still missing the fact, though, that it was like behind their back. Like they were talking about them behind their back.
All right. I'm trying to. Is there a distance we can recommend here?
Right. Like, if you're going to talk about someone, be more than 50 feet away.
Yeah, exactly.
This is like our restraining order.
It was
order
actually
rule.
Like 5 feet.
Yeah. Yeah. Be more than 5 feet away from the person. Okay. All right. Well,
don't be stupid. Watch
I like
your
that.
Back.
Yeah. Okay. That's perfect. Don't be stupid. Watch your back.
I like that. Exactly. Yeah. Also, watch your trimates' backs as well, because there might be someone behind it.
Don't be stupid, okay. Stupid.
Don't be stupid, stupid. Watch your back. Yes. Okay, great.
I think that works. It's very blunt and to the point, which I feel like is very Nicole.
I was just going to say, that's totally me.
Yes. And it's still descriptive of the situation, but I think it's very general. You know, you can apply it to a number of situations. So I'm here for it.
It's like a life lesson. Don't be stupid. Idiot.
Yeah, and it's also very, you know, it's a nice callback to, you know, I feel like Pat could take this advice back in season 37. Watch your back.
Watch your back. Yeah. This will be the next thing I say to my Alexa. My Alexa's screwing up. Don't be stupid, stupid.
Yeah, I was going to say, I didn't know if it was too contingent to throw in rule 58, like, don't be R. Kelly, but I didn't know if we wanted to keep that etched in the rule book.
I don't think that's something we want to be on record.
Yeah, I think we hit the cap on the R. Kelly talk.
Yeah, right, exactly. Nah, we're just going to move on from that.
Yeah, Scott, if I mention his name from now on, just bleep it out. It's now, we've hit our quota.
He just gets a bleep.
Oh my gosh. Okay, perfect. Great. I'm very excited. Thank you both. And I love it. I love it. Don't be stupid, stupid. Watch your back. Okay. Now, enough of that very serious talk. Let's do something a little bit more fun. So we are going to do a fun activity, Mad Libs. So I'm going to ask the two of you to help me fill in the blanks for some Survivor stories. So we're going to do two different stories. The first one, we are going to write a summary of what's happened so far on this season of Survivor. So if you missed the first few episodes, don't worry. We've got you covered.
Yeah, this is our own previously on Survivor recap.
Yes, exactly. So we'll see how close we get to the actual season of Survivor. Yes, it's going to be an adventure. Okay, so Mike, let's start with you. I need an adjective.
Let's go with shiny.
Okay.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Thank you. I'm my sleeves are just turning outwards as you keep talking about it.
He's so good at adjectives. Okay, Nicole, I need a number.
69.
Yes.
All right, you are perfect for the B&B. Now you're officially cemented. That's a great guest.
By the way, today is the 69th day of the year.
Ooh la la. Yes. Don't tell my friend Robert.
Yeah, if you tell him that and then he finds that gif of Chris, there's going to be so many questions.
Yeah, lots of questions. Okay, Mike, I need a number as well.
Let's go with 73.
Okay. Nicole, a name of one of the castaways from this season.
David Wright.
Okay. Mike, a plural noun.
Baseballs.
Baseballs. Okay.
Mike, you come up with these so quickly. It's putting so much pressure on me. Like, I have to think, okay, plural noun. That is, okay, all right. I know what that is.
Okay, all right.
To be honest, I've also been doing this for like a year and a half, so I'm like mentally steeled myself for Mad Libs. Okay. You're doing a great job for someone who's just been exposed to them for, I don't know.
I blurted out 69.
Well, do you remember the last time you played Mad Libs was, though? It might have been a long time.
It was in the airport coming back from, I think, my honeymoon. Oh, no, maybe it was Punta Cana. Yeah, so I do remember.
Okay, well, that's okay. That is very on brand. So I'm here for it. Okay, well, I is this one okay? A verb, Nicole. Can you give me a verb?
Run.
Okay. Mike, a name of a castaway from Edge of Extinction.
Let's go with Reem on the Edge of Extinction.
Okay. Nicole, an animal.
Alligator.
Okay, Mike, a verb.
Demand.
Oh, look at you. Nicole, a body part.
Wiener.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, a verb, Mike.
Relax.
Oh. Okay, Nicole, a name of a castaway from this season.
Julia.
Okay. Which actually this might be the most screen time she's ever gotten on our recap compared to the actual season. I know. Okay, Mike, another name of a castaway from the season.
Let's go with Ron Clark.
Okay. A noun, Nicole.
Rock.
Rock. And finally, Mike, I need an animal.
Let's go with platypus.
Platypus. Okay, here we are. So we are going to summarize the season so far. Previously on the Edge of Extinction, what a shiny season so far. 3 weeks ago, 69 castaways started the journey for $73 million. Big budget increase. In episode one, David Wright was voted out because he moved his tribe mates' baseballs to dry on the beach. And when David Wright was voted out, he said, "No offense, but run my tribe. You're all a bunch of alligators." And, I don't know. That's actually like maybe an insult. Okay. In episode two, Reem Daly was voted out due to her inability to demand at the immunity challenge.
That does not sound like Reem.
Yeah, at all.
It's way off.
Yeah. Although the real story this episode was about Chris's big wiener.
We need like balloons to fall from the ceiling that we actually got a Mad Lib that ended up matching up with the show.
I know, like that's actually what happened. Okay. And Ron's relaxing moves. Finally, this past episode, Julia was voted out, but the real drama came from Ron Clark stealing the very important rock from camp.
You know what? The state of intermediate aisles could get to a point where, like, it's just an effing rock and Ron Clark steals it.
Exactly. All right. Tune in next week to see Ron Clark release the reward platypuses at a camp. So.
Could you imagine? Because I don't know if you guys noticed, but when Jeff was walking over to the chickens, you had like Eric and Joe making the chicken noises. Could you imagine them trying to like imitate platypi? Just be like, yep, that's right. It's platypuses here for your eating pleasure.
Yeah. Well, that was, I was like, wait, is it platypi or platypuses?
Platypussy. I don't know. You're the animal expert on this podcast. It could be platypussy. Yes.
I don't know. Okay. Well, great. That was definitely what happened so far.
I can't wait to see who wins the $73 million. I guess they really had to buff it up to get those four returning players back on.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, with 69 castaways. That's quite a season. Quite a season.
And I guess one of them, I don't know, did they get baseballs in the when they scavenged the boat and David Wright hid them or moved them somewhere else?
Yeah, it was part of the marooning. There were baseballs and platypi. It was a very interesting take on the preparation for the season.
Could you imagine if Jeff Probst was like, okay, you know, we want to have some fun, so we put a bunch of beach equipment here, too. So take whatever you guys want to. It's like when they dropped off all the sports equipment for the kids in a season way back.
Oh, my gosh. Can you imagine? It's like, okay, we're going to give you some, you know, fun items. And we're going to give you baseballs, pool noodles, things that you can really enjoy. Enjoy your time on Survivor. Okay. So we have one more to do. So since we did a summary of the season so far, I thought it would be fun to do a prediction. But instead of doing a prediction of the season, we're going to do a prediction of a week in RHAP podcasts. So,
ooh.
Yeah, we're going to predict what is going to happen this coming week in RHAP podcasts.
Oh, this should be interesting.
Okay. Yes. Yes, it will. All right. So, Mike, we'll start with you. I need the name of a castaway from this season.
Let's go with Julie.
Julie. Okay. Nicole, a verb ending in ing.
Screaming.
Okay. Okay. Mike, a former Survivor player. So not on this season.
Let's go with Tyson.
Okay. Nicole, I need a food that Rob eats.
Boring chicken.
Yeah.
Yes. The hit of the Manu camp, if you can find the chicken.
If it escaped, though.
That's right. I don't know. Is boring platypuses, is that also a food that would be good?
I feel like Rob would eat that.
As long as it's boring.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mike, I need just a name.
Seymour.
Okay. Nicole, a country.
Uganda.
Okay.
Ooh.
Okay, Mike, I need an adjective.
Let's say timid.
Okay. Okay, we'll see how that works. Okay, and Nicole, I need an as seen on TV product.
The perfect potato.
What is that?
It's basically like this little pillow for a potato, and you put it in the microwave and you cook it for 4 minutes, and then it comes out the perfect potato.
Wait, I need to look. Is it like a dish?
No, it's like a pillow that you put, or it's like a little, like, cushiony package you put a potato in, and then you just put it in the microwave. This is one of Rob's favorite things. This is what he has with his boring chicken, his perfect potato.
Wait, do you put the potato in the pillow?
It's like a sack that's like completely covered.
So you put your potato in a sack.
Yes.
And you put it in the microwave. Yes. And it makes the perfect potato. Yes. What does the sack have to do with it? Does it help heat it?
I don't know. It keeps the moisture in. I don't know, but it just makes it perfect. And that's all you need to know.
Okay. I have some Googling to do.
I'm Googling it now. And this, I can't find this thing. Maybe it's as seen on TV and only on TV.
It's only at the Cesternino TV.
Yeah, it's really, they've really marketed specifically to you. I'm sure your Alexa is talking all about potato products.
Oh my gosh. So there was a New York restaurant called The Perfect Potato. It is permanently closed.
maybe they went into a different type of line. Like, listen, we gotta impart our secrets of the trade onto the world.
No, they were run out of business. The Perfect Potato at home now. You know, mm-hmm. you don't need to go out.
Hopefully they had a trademark on that name then, because they could have just stole that name outright.
Yeah. Okay. All right, Mike. Term of endearment.
Ooh, you cushy cheeks.
Poor Angela.
is that how you compliment her? I guess it's better than my Alexa.
That's true. Yeah, I did not call her. I said, wow, you're really reminding me of R. Kelly today. Cushy cheeks.
Bleep.
Yeah, right. We're going to bleep that out.
Damn it. Yeah, Scott, you should bleep it out. Put some music over that. Not the music from that particular artist.
Okay, Nicole, former Survivor player.
Zane.
Okay. Mike, I need an RHAP podcaster.
Oh boy. Let's go with Haley Strong.
Okay. Nicole, I need two numbers.
Two separate numbers?
Yes.
Okay.
No, just say the number two.
Let's go with 12 and 69.
Okay. Mike, I also need a number. But just one, though.
One.
Okay. Okay, Nicole, I need a schoolyard game.
Red light, green light.
Yes.
That's what you play when the perfect potato is ready. The light turns green, right?
Exactly.
Okay, Mike, I need an item on Survivor.
Let's go with coconut.
Okay. And finally, Nicole, I need a noun.
I'm looking at my window to see something interesting, but there's nothing.
Do you think something like, I don't know, like a dragon will fly by the window?
there's a neighbor that we call a pervert. So we'll call, is that, no, is that a noun? Or is that an adjective?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, sure, yeah, we'll call pervert.
Yeah.
Okay, pervert, perfect. Okay, great. So,
oh boy, now I was thinking for some reason my warped brain went to alliteration. I was thinking perverts, perfect potato.
Oh my goodness. Okay, no, there is no perverts, perfect potato here.
Are you a pervert? Do you also like baked potatoes? We got a product for you. So you can get back to peeping at whatever you want to in 4 minutes.
In 4 minutes or less.
Yeah. Okay, all right, here we go. To kick off the week, Steven and Rob broke down Julie's exit from the game on Know It Alls. During their discussion, Steven stated that screaming is arbitrary and reductive. The next day, before the recap podcast with Tyson, Rob ate a healthy serving of boring chicken.
Obviously.
Yes.
That's again, balloons are falling down. We gotta correct prediction it.
Exactly. On the voicemail show with Bryce Isaiah, Seymour from Uganda wrote in saying, "Hey, Rob, hey, who is this season's timidest timid?" I'm quite worried who I was hoping. But,
no, that works perfectly.
Season's timidest timid, yes. But before the voicemails podcast, Nicole joined Rob for an ad read this week about the amazing perfect potato.
That nobody else knows about.
Although it now could be a legit ad read if you guys ever got the perfect potato can sponsor. Okay. A surprise podcast was also released this week where T-Bird tracked down Zane Knight to settle the debate about who first used the term "you crusty cheeks" on Survivor.
Hey, it was cushy cheeks, not crusty you, cheeks.
You cushy cheeks. Okay, sorry. I can't spell the crusty cheeks. Yikes. Okay. On this week in Survivor history, Rob beat Haley Strong 69-12. And the winner of the Wand Off parody, or the winner of the Wand Off, was a parody of Seven Rings by Ariana Grande titled One Coconut.
Ooh, that was a hit. Who did that? Was that, you think that was a Bob from Columbus deal?
Yeah, exactly. Maybe a little DJ LaBelle Klein action in there too. Okay, on the B&B, Liana won the prediction, but tried to adapt Red Light, Green Light to a Survivor podcast game. It went over like a pervert balloon.
Those are my favorite kind of balloons.
Yeah. Well, when you were talking about your window, oh, it's the pervert balloon is outside the window. Finally, on Why Blank Lost, David and Jessica agreed that Julie didn't scheme and plot enough. The end. Wow. Oh,
thank you so much for bringing the term pervert balloon into the lexicon.
That's such a good insult. Add it to my list of things to call my Alexa. Alexa, you're being such a pervert balloon right now.
Pervert balloon with crusty cheeks.
You crusty cheeks.
Or call them the timidest timid. Maybe that, see how it responds to that.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I'm also excited for Seymour from Uganda.
That sounds like a mail scheme.
Yeah. Like, PayPal me $10,000 and I'll give you the rest of my fortune. Whew. Okay. All right. Well, we'll just have to see if our predictions were correct.
Well, hopefully this segment did not go over like a pervert balloon. We shall see. Or maybe we made the perfect potato of a segment. We'll see what the listeners have to say.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
So I am going to base my question this week off a tweet that was sent to us by Heidi Marshall, who came in with a suggestion based off of Rick's statement about Wendy, saying she's a lovable, emotional type. So we're going to figure out what two somewhat contradictory adjectives can you use to describe yourself. So to be clear, it's not an oxymoron, like you can't say I'm a smart, dumb person, but it's sort of like two words that you didn't think would be in the same sentence. Like she gives some examples here, like a stubborn, gentle type, an insightful, distracted type, or a joyful, hardworking type.
Okay, what's an adjective? Hold on, let me like sort this out.
Let me tell you, that's my area of expertise.
Yes, yeah. Alexa.
We're actually, yeah, or that's what I should ask. Alexa, pick two adjectives to describe me.
You know, the listeners,
well,
Alexa,
look who came crawling back.
Oh, yeah. Sorry for saying Alexa so much. Oh, my God. Okay.
At least we're not saying the other name. I think that's more of a trigger than Alexa.
The other name. R. Kelly, right? Name?
Oh, that's oh that one.
Doing. Yeah.
I believe I can fly.
Okay. Crap. I should have done this for the Mad Libs instead. Let's see. I see adjectives. I'm a shiny. That was one that Mike listed earlier. Timid. I'm a shiny timid.
Interesting. Okay. Does that describe your personality
at
all?
I don't know. That's just from the Mad Libs earlier.
Well, like I can give an example here. Like I would say I am a talkative, I don't know, a talkative dimwitted person in that I talk a lot, but like all I say is nonsense. So I feel like those two things are like somewhat contradictory to each other, but they're not outright opposites.
Okay, so I took the Animal in You quiz earlier and I was the lion personality. So based on that, I'm looking at adjectives to describe the lion. I am courageous and medium to large sized. Does that count?
Well, you could say like courageous small.
I am courageous and dramatic.
I like that a lot. No, I think that that's because those don't exactly line up. I think that's totally on the nose.
Yes. I'm excited for when they remake The Wizard of Oz and it's the dramatic lion.
Wait, I just got excited. I thought they were really remaking it.
Oh, no.
I'm sure they will, but could you imagine like Oh my goodness, what are you doing here? I can't go on. I hurt my ankle. You'll have to carry me to the Emerald City. I can't.
Pulling a Windy. Oh, my leg hurts. Yeah, that's, I need to read to learn more adjectives is what I'm learning from this experience.
Nicole, do you have any thoughts about ways to describe yourself?
I feel like I am the crazy Zen person.
Ooh, I like that. So is it like different sides of you, or is it like your craziness has a foundation in Zen?
Like, I'm so crazy that I can, like, I have the ability to calm people. Like, people come to, like, I'm crazy, but people come to me and I give really good advice and I can, like, make people calm, but I'm crazy.
Okay, that's a good one. Because I think I know if we don't necessarily do oxymorons, but I am, you know, like, a scientist, very rational and logical in my thinking, but I'm also super emotional. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know if, like, rational and emotional count. Because that would also fall under me.
Well, that's the thing as well, is like, I can describe myself as like fairly emotional of a person too, but I also have this bit of a streak where I kind of like to see people suffer for the sake of like dramatics. So like, look, you're talking to the person who's caught on camera pointing and laughing and Malcolm leaving. You know this about me. So like, I feel like that's a thing that I could relate to.
Between you and Rob, you're going to burn down the shelter and laugh maniacally.
And laugh, yeah.
Someone's suffering. I'm here for it.
So we'll see if you guys out there want to describe yourselves or describe us using adjective. I just thought it was a nice little thing from Heidi to because I do think it was interesting the way that Rick really tiptoed around the Wendy thing by being like, God, Wendy, isn't she something? She really is an interesting person.
Yeah, was he did he say emotional yet lovable? What is the order?
He said she's a lovable emotional nut.
Mm-hmm. Lovable emotional nut. That's actually a pretty good description of her, though.
But I'm sure if you took him aside and there was no cameras rolling, he'd say something else.
Yeah, or you just leave out the lovable part. Like, she's an emotional nut.
And put in an F-bomb.
Yeah, exactly.
She's an effing emotional nut. All right, well, this brings us to our final segment of each and every week here on the BNB. The question of the week. So we put out a question from last week's podcast into the Survivor ethos to see what you guys have to say. We'll always read your responses on the air. We'll give our own responses as well. Last week's question, what is one dance move you would bring to Survivor? In honor of Rob's worst enemy, Ron Clark, bringing back the air spank from the mid-2000s, what would you want to bring back onto the scene? Starting with Jonathan Troyer says, if I were choreographing a dance for my Survivor tribe, I would include a group lift. Not only does it promote teamwork and looking cool, the Survivor gods may see it as us offering the person to them. Hopefully that makes them merciful to the tribe. Nicole, it seemed like you voiced your assent to this idea.
Any Dirty Dancing reference has my heart. Yes, absolutely.
I like this too, but I will say there's not a better dance move to get medevaced than a group lift, especially if you are offering this person to the Survivor gods. The Survivor gods may come to take the offering sooner rather than later.
Could you imagine if like Dr. Joe got called to camp? Was like, well, I thought we could do the lift and I botched it. So poor guy got a fractured elbow. You're going to have to remove him from the game.
So what exactly is a group lift? Like everybody grabs a partner and then they do the lift, or does one person lift the entire group?
I'm thinking like one person runs to a group and they all do like a balletic lift together. Everyone, so it's like light as a feather, stiff as a board, while they all grab a piece of something.
Well, yeah, it's like one person gets lifted, right? The whole group. That would be really impressive. That one person, though.
That reminds me of like those challenges back in the day. Remember when they had to like carry people across on those little pedestals to different platforms where James Clement like beasted it? That's what the group lift would be from that perspective.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
See, I feel like I need like a synchronized lift, and that would be more, that would be better for me.
Oh my gosh. Can you imagine if they walked out to, you know, the tribe walks out to the immunity challenge and all of a sudden to do this choreographed dance routine, including a group lift?
That's what Ron Clark was trying to do. I think they were just two steps away from it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be intimidating.
but awesome.
that would be intimidating.
Yeah, I am intimidated by group lifts, apparently.
Let's not take you to the ballet anytime soon, because spoiler alert, they've got the big D energy from your perspective from all the lifts they're doing.
Yes.
Yet another reason Chris Underwood was voted out, by the way. All right, let's move on to Elizabeth. I have an absolutely phenomenal dance move in which you perform the sprinkler into the dab. It was quite the move circa 2012.
Wow. That's like you combine the two. I mean, I think Ron Clark would be all about that move.
Do we think like the dab still exists
my,
amongst
my 5-year old does it, but he calls it the jab. He's very confused.
Doing the jab.
That's so cute.
Now, how is his dab? Is it like, is he doing the technique well?
Imagine Rob as a 3-foot person.
Aww. That's so cute. So no.
No.
Yeah, okay.
I think we need to bring the sprinkler back. I feel like, to Elizabeth's point, it's in the family of the dab.
Mm. Has enough time passed before, you know, how like, oh, time passes and then things become cool again? Is the sprinkler now back to where it was? It ever cool, though, in the first place? I don't think so.
That's a good point.
Yeah, I feel like it was like a stupid move that you would do just to get some laughs, right?
Right.
Yeah, it's a nice, like, cheap trick to go for. It's the pervert balloon of dance moves.
Or it's like the rope thing where you, like, throw the rope and you pretend to catch, lasso somebody and then you bring them in.
Yes, yeah, or like the fishing one where you cast the line, mm-hmm. You reel them in.
Or like, or going shopping.
Oh, what? Yeah. You, like, push the cart and you, like, grab stuff from the
you pick up.
Oh, this is a move? I missed this?
Yeah, you mind pushing the cart and you grab objects. This sounds like the most boring dance move ever.
I think that Mike Bloom just does this in his house. Like, is this the move that you do in the mirror naked?
Yes. How did you know? That's how I start every day, is I look at myself in the mirror naked. I compliment myself to let my leaves flow as I go shopping.
Pumps himself up.
Pumps myself up, exactly. That's the perfect potato.
I'm
going to
have a good
opinion. Morning
now.
Oh boy, got my shopping done. Everything's golden.
But like, I love it. Who want, like, grocery shopping is not cool.
Yeah, it's the most basic idea. Like, ooh, gotta do the laundry.
Yeah, and you're like, oh man, gotta buy some soda. It's really heavy. I'm dancing. Yeah.
It is that is, in retrospect, like the dullest dance move I think that has ever existed.
Oh my goodness. Ugh. Poor Angela.
I'm horrified. I'm absolutely horrified.
Let's move on here. Parker Schimler, my dance move would simply be the stanky leg, as I'm sure my legs would actually be stanky. Are you guys familiar with the stanky leg?
You pretend like your leg doesn't move and you're like moving it around and dragging it. Is that it?
Is that what Wendy was doing?
She's doing the stanky leg.
She's doing the stanky. She's doing the stankle.
My on to you, Wendy.
Yeah, my dance move is restless leg syndrome.
Or it's just flapping all over the place.
Yeah.
Christmas says, the dance move I would want to bring at Survivor is what Fortnite fans call the Orange Justice. So I think I looked this up. She actually posted a GIF to it. You don't need to look it up, Nicole. But it's basically like you keep your legs sort of like they're on skis, like they're together, and you just sort of like bend them and wiggle around. So you don't actually move. Imagine like someone taped up your legs and pinned you to the ground and you dance. That's sort of what the Orange Justice is.
That sounds like something I'm capable of doing, but is there grocery shopping involved? Because
do you buy an orange juice with the Orange Justice?
Right. I only do dance moves that involve shopping.
I do the most capitalist dance moves only. No communist dance moves for me.
Yes.
John, the great John says, best dance move to do in Survivor is bring back the Gangnam Style and one person can be the horse.
Yeah, remember when that was a thing?
Oh, I like twitch when I hear that song because my 3-year-old at the time had this motorcycle that loudly, every time you turn this thing on, would scream. Like, you could hear it literally 3 miles away.
Gangnam Style dance.
What?
It was awful.
So this is like when you turn on the car and, you know, the radio turns on automatically. That was this for this motorcycle, but the only thing the motorcycle knew was Gangnam Style.
Yes, anytime that thing was on, like, my kid would be riding this thing and just Gangnam Style, just blasting. Finally, we cut the wires and we told him it broke.
Yeah. I'm surprised Rob didn't burn down the bike.
He hid it in the garage for a while and everything was quiet, and then he found it, and then we had to cut the wires.
Oh my gosh, that's so random though. Like, why that song? I mean, I guess, you know, it was a huge hit, so why not have it?
You know what? My mom bought it for him, but she was cheap, and she got it off eBay, and it was like one of those like cheaply made things from China.
Okay.
And it was awful.
Oh my goodness.
I just can't imagine hearing Gangnam Style over and over.
Oh my god, it was so bad. So now I twitch every time I hear it.
Oh boy, that might be a dance move. It's like the Gangnam Style response.
Totally.
Cut the wires, no.
And then the wires cut and you die.
Yeah.
That could be a trigger as well. Yeah, I don't know. Should we or should we not put you guys on a bomb squad now? Because you're good at cutting wires, but like, I guess you need to do it if the bomb is playing Gangnam Style to just bring you back in that mode.
Yeah, it was like an angry like pull of the wires, like, oh, this is the last time, and he pulled it out.
I can't anymore. I'm just destroying this bike. but then, like, could you imagine, like, you pulled out the wrong wire and now it's like Gangnam Style?
And it never dies.
Yeah, exactly. Or just keeps playing faster and faster.
I just, in my head, I have the scene from Office Space where they're like smashing the printer. I'm just imagining like you and Rob out there with a baseball bat just smashing this toy to shit.
Oh,
so good.
Felipe Shimon says, for my dance moves, I'd start with the worm, stand up to do the hustle, then end with the nay-nay, but all that would be only to throw Liana and the guest off in the next B&Bay. Wow, I found a new name for this podcast. To count how many beats of movement this contestant did in this episode. I think I'm unfamiliar. I don't remember the nay-nay. I know the whip, but I don't remember the nay-nay.
Don't they go together?
I think so.
Watch me whip.
It's in the same song.
Don't watch me nay-nay. Yeah. I don't know what that would look like, especially the transition. Although I will say they have the that worm challenge, right, where they like tie their hands and legs together and have them like shuffle around on the sand, so that would prepare.
I thought
you
were talking about like one of those like cockamamie YouTube challenges was the worm challenge.
Like, oh yeah, right, the worm challenge right up there with the Tide Pod challenge and the
Momo challenge
and the Momo. Yes.
Oh no, that's terrible.
The pervert balloon challenge. I remember all those.
Yeah, exactly. Like, tie your arms and legs together and see how much you can get around during the day. It looks like, from what I'm seeing, a nay-nay is essentially like a Gangnam Style, but more of a low rider. Like, your legs are more, you're more in a squat when you do it, and you sort of wave your hand back and forth.
I just remember Aris posting a video of him and his family, like, doing it on Instagram.
Really?
Yeah. And I was like, oh, I'm never doing that.
Yikes.
Yeah, I'm not doing that.
Yeah, and it's interesting because what I like about Felipe's is that he's essentially doing like that History of Dance YouTube video from a while back with just doing all these things in transition to each other.
Yes. Yeah, that could, you know, we might see that from Ron Clark. It's, I feel like, in his wheelhouse.
Finally, William Buckner, just for you, Nicole, says, has to be the reluctant Macarena from Rob's 40th birthday Amazing Race flash mob. I need a gif of this low energy effort in my life.
That was the worst Macarena ever. And he gets so mad when I tell him. Like, that was terrible.
It was so funny, though. So funny. I was dying of laughter because it was so bad.
Like, even Parvati was like, no, dude, come on.
Listen, if you could have, you know, if you put on Gangnam Style, that would have fired him up. So you put a bit more energy into it.
On his 50th birthday, he'll have to do Gangnam Style.
Yeah, you'll all drive in on the motorcycle playing Gangnam Style.
Oh my gosh, and Rob burns down the park. That's how that ends.
And well,
let's hear from let's hear from you guys. Liana, what would you do? What's a good dance move to do on Survivor?
Okay, so my first thought was the YMCA, and then you spell out the tribe name as you do it. However, I really am proud of this one, the safety dance, because if your allies don't dance, well, they're no allies of mine.
Oh boy, is that going to beat one coconut in the wand
off
this week?
That is my wand off idea, yes.
You made wand offs before, so don't necessarily count it out.
I know.
Nicole, you are a master of dance.
Oh yeah.
From your previous attempts at the air spank. what do you think there are any dance moves that you think are good for Survivor celebrations?
I feel like I'd have to like go to like the Running Man or Roger Rabbit.
That would be pretty good.
What's Roger Rabbit again?
It's like you're going backwards.
Like not the moonwalk, but like sort of.
Right, yeah, and your arms like flail back, yeah. Like your elbows go back.
Wait, I've never
am I dating myself here? Am I that old?
No. Like this, I've never found this move before. This might be my move. It requires flailing.
I feel
walking.
Like you would like be this, really good at the Roger Rabbit.
This might be my only. This now I can add.
It'd be
this
really
to
good
my
to
repertoire.
Watch you do it.
There we go. And for Rob's 50th, if he's low energy, I'll start Roger Rabbiting into him and see how he reacts.
Yes, just don't do it naked in your mirror in your room.
Okay. Well, no,
that would be weird.
That's shopping
bouncing.
Time, baby. That's reserved. I'm thinking like in terms of dance moves. I'm thinking how do I want to? Because I'm on Liana's point of like how do I want to appeal myself to other people? And I'm thinking, you know, in the game of Survivor, to be a loyal ally, you want to be able to follow directions well, right? And you want to be able to pivot easily. So I'm thinking, let's go with the most instructional dance ever. Give me the cha-cha slide.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I would hate you.
Is it too many instructions?
Like when I'm at a party and that comes up, I'm like, to the bar.
And it's time to get a drink.
I do feel like there should be a challenge as to like, because I feel like it's akin to like that karaoke song when people put on like Paradise by the Dashboard Light, where they're like, great, this is an awesome song. And then you get 2 minutes into the 7 minute song, and you're like, okay, this was a mistake. I feel like that's the same thing with Cha Cha Slide, where people are so into it when it starts, but then things start to ebb out around like the halfway point where people are like, all right, I clap my hands, I went down low, I have to keep going now. And everyone realizes the mistake that they made and the way they committed to it.
Yeah, they're going to vote you out.
We've made a huge mistake.
Imagine if you did get voted out for trying to come under your people into doing the cha-cha slide.
Well, that's a legit reason to get voted out.
Yeah, that's, oh my gosh. Not to get into too much like Big Brother Canada, but in the episode, it was portrayed, it seemed like the reason why someone got voted out is because you wouldn't rap. And so I would be like very here for Mike gets voted out because he tries to get everyone to do the cha-cha slide. And that is how it is legit sold on the show. The reason why you were voted out, like David and Jessica, add that to your list of why blank lost. Tried to convince someone to do the cha-cha slide.
Yeah, that's the rule right at the bottom there. And I mean, could you do a Survivor adaptation like dig for the idol or write the vote?
Yeah, right. You could also
I think that would be more fun. Yeah.
Yeah. And then you could be creative because I think that's a problem is it's so repetitive. The cha-cha slide.
That's true. Because I was thinking maybe you could do like achy breaky heart or the electric slide. But I feel like those are even more repetitive.
Is there a dance to achy breaky heart?
There is. It's like a kickball change sort of thing.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's all I remember. It's because it's from the chorus, right? But is there? Okay.
Yeah. I don't know if there's any dance to the verse about tell me Aunt Louise, tell me if you please, that stuff.
How do you even know the words?
I don't know. I think my parents put on like this weird mixtape. You know what it is? There was a CD when I was a kid about like, the Trolls Dolls Sing the Hits. It was pre-Kids Bop. And it was Troll Dolls singing adult songs. And one of them was Achy Breaky Heart.
This sounds like a nightmare.
It was kind of a nightmare.
Yeah, talk about like cutting the wires on stuff. I'm amazed your parents didn't smash that CD.
She just crashed the car to get rid of Achy Breaky Heart as sung by trolls.
Did they have like normal pitched voices or were they trying to be trolls?
Like the chipmunks.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I was thinking.
It kind of was like the chipmunks.
Oh, no.
So don't tell my heart. Like, they're trying to be grungy
so
trolls.
Creepy.
Like hillbilly trolls. Somebody needs to, we got someone to track down the Survivor Wii game from last week. Hopefully someone can find, I don't know, Trolls Sing the Hits or whatever thing my parents made me listen to when I was a kid.
Did the trolls have mullets?
They have the hair for it. They pull it off, just slick it back, right? It could be a mullet.
Oh my goodness. That is ridiculous.
So question of the week for next week, in honor of the surprise that came during Know It Alls this past week, what Survivor contestant would you want to randomly show up at your house?
I'm so excited for the answers to this one.
Now, Nicole, I don't want to spoil information on the 5 for 5 too much for this next week, but can you give a bit of background from your perspective as to, for lack of a better term, how Caitlin came into the house and came into the podcast?
Yeah. So I was just at my house, minding my own business, trying to put my kids to sleep, and I get a text message from Caitlin saying, she's like, I'm down the street, can I stop by? I was like, okay. And then she's like, yeah, I want to be on the podcast, you think that'll be cool? I'm like, okay. And like, literally, that I'm just like, okay. And I'm like, just come right in, the door's open. And like 30 seconds later, she's like at our house.
Oh my goodness. She was like, okay, just waiting.
So then she just went upstairs, and I went upstairs with my husband, surprised him, and here we are.
I was going to say, I mean, if you were looking out your window earlier, there was probably a 75% chance that Caitlin would be out there and would be your noun.
I saw her again. I was walking down the street with my kids, and I see her. She was at one of the stores on where we were, and I hear, hey, and I turned, like, and I like jumped up like a heart attack, and I was like, whoa, what's going on? And I see Caitlin.
She, we need to create a rule. Okay, we're changing the rule. Now it has to, yes, definitely has to be like, don't show up randomly.
I'm always on edge as it is. So yeah. But she was so sweet. She's like the nicest person in the world. So when I saw her as I was walking down the street and she scared me, I was like, oh my God, it's Caitlin. And I gave her a big hug. She's really sweet.
So is this your edge of extinction that keeps you on edge, that Caitlin might just show up at any time?
Yeah. I'm just always on edge, or that anybody's going to show up. You never know. Like last
year, you're just covered in the tarp. You get a note that's like, reminder, Caitlin Herman might show up at any point in time.
Remember last year at Easter, we had the Easter bunny show up on our doorstep and scare us.
Was this a man in a costume? I can't remember.
No,
this
it was Steve and Simone played a trick on us. It was April Fool's Day. And then they put an Easter bunny, a creepy looking Easter bunny, on our doorstep with candy, and then just disappeared. And we didn't know what it was, but my kids were so they were obsessed with this Easter bunny. And we're like, don't eat the candy.
Oh my gosh, that is so terrifying.
Yeah.
Imagine if the Imagine Bunny started playing Gangnam Style. That'd be even worse.
Oh my God. Don't give people ideas.
Oh, but Easter Style.
No.
Some unfortunate parody. So we'll go over these answers to who you want to be your fun visitor from the Survivor community next week with our guest. We are welcoming in, I guess, commuter of all things Alexa and robot himself, Taryn Armstrong, will be coming in to talk about episode 4 of Survivor Edge of Extinction. You can always tweet this to us using hashtag RHAPBNB. You can email it to us, RHAPBNB@gmail.com. You can post it on RobHisWebsite.com. You can post it in the Facebook group. We have a bunch of ways we can see this. Our eyes are everywhere. Pervert balloons in the sky watching you answer these things, and we are always so happy with you guys, your guys' creativity in sending these things to us, and thank you so much. And Nicole, thank you so much for coming on and subjecting yourself to all this nonsense over the past hour and a half. This was delightful.
Do I get the pervert balloon award?
Yay! I don't think that's an award you want to win.
There'll be an award that will put like a piece of black tape over. The RK award for pervert balloon goes to
nope.
It's the only award that gets, most of it is redacted and censored out.
Yeah.
Well, Nicole, if people want to get more of you, especially with your other half in Rob, you do a weekly podcast called the 5 for 5, which is accessible for the patrons of RHAP. For those that are not in the know, can you describe a bit as to what that is?
So it's a weekly podcast that we do for the patrons of RHAP, where you get to hear me every week talk nonsense and crazy stories and just like ridiculousness. But it's really fun and it's one of my favorite things to do every week.
Yeah, I really enjoy it as well. It's a fun opportunity to talk about, you know, Rob gives his and Nicole's reactions to some of the stuff that happens behind the scenes on the podcast, stuff that's going on in the news. It's a nice, you know, take on a tried and true tradition of RHAP that has transformed, much like the worm segment, into the hustle, into the nay-nay. You're now in the nay-nay phase of the 5 for 5.
Yes, and sometimes Rob learns new stories about me on live on the show. Stories he's never heard before.
I love the 5 for 5 because I feel like I'm getting the inside scoop. It makes me feel like I'm important and I get to hear
you
everything.
You are important.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, a little leaf came out of Liana's head with you saying that. So, and Nicole, if people want to follow you on the social medias, whether it be Twitter or Instagram, to see all the stuff that your family is up to, how can people follow you there?
So you can follow me on Instagram. What is my name on Instagram? Oh, I'm just Nicole Sesternino, plain and boring, Nicole Sesternino. And then on Twitter, I am Nicole Sess what?
Perfect. Liana, what about you? What have you got working on in the hopper?
Yes. So I am taking a break from the Big Brother Canada coverage in doing the morning updates. But
because you couldn't rap, we know.
I know. I promise I will be back for the summer for Big Brother US. But there is a lot going on because in addition to doing the BNB, Mike and I are also doing RuPaul's Drag Race coverage of season 11, which we just recorded the latest episode of that, which is so much fun so far. I think that there's a lot to explore with these queens and it's really enjoyable. I'm all in for it. Yes. Oh, yeah. And I'm on social media. Also super boring at Liana Boris. Hashtag branding.
Nicole, have you ever been interested in exploring? Because I know Rob watched, one episode in a podcast that he did. Have you ever been interested in trying to, in your very busy schedule, check out RuPaul's Drag Race?
Yeah, actually, I have. But my TV viewing time is just so limited. But that would definitely be something I would like to get into. It just seems like a good escape from,
yes,
the real world.
It is. Oh, my gosh. And then we can bring Nicole on the recap, Mike.
I would love that. I mean, I love it. It's become very quickly one of my favorite shows on TV because it's equal parts silly and silky and stupid, while at the same time really fun and sometimes beautiful and sometimes shocking. There's a lot of fun stuff involved there. So make sure you're checking out our recaps all season long. You can always follow me at a Mike Bloom type. You can check out the Top Chef coverage we're doing as we finish off this season. I have a couple of interviews going on there with Parade. I'm also covering Star Trek Discovery on post-show recaps, as well as for The Hollywood Reporter. So a lot of hands in jars going on. A lot of cans to bring off the aisle as I pull off my shopping dance move. That's going to do it for this week on the BNB. This was a super fun time. I hope you all enjoyed it as well. Be sure to let us know your thoughts. Feel free to send us any games or any question ideas like Heidi Marshall did. Thank you all so much, as always, for sending in suggestions for the question of the week as well. We really do appreciate it. We'll be back next week with Taryn Armstrong to break down episode 4 of Survivor Edge of Extinction and what other stuff may come alongside it. Special thanks to Scott St. Pierre for editing this behind the scenes, Will from America for our theme song, Paul Osleson for being the head writer. We appreciate and adore you all. Thank you all for listening. We'll check you out at your next stay.
Mike and Liana, yeah, they're playing some games. You better pray to your mama that they're not super lame. And if that all sounds cool, I can tell you the name. It's the RHAPBMB. Mike and Liana, yeah, they're playing some games. You better pray to your mama that they're not super lame. And if that all sounds cool, I can tell you the name. It's the
You can stay for free.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy.
Chumba.
The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes.
Chumba.
ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.